Who here knows what worship series we're in right now? What's the topic? What are we talking about? What have we been talking about the last couple Sundays? I see Micah's hand shot up. Micah? No, no snack. Yeah, we're having a big feast after, so. What about my question? Do we know what we've been talking about? What are all these books up here? What do they represent? Isaac? The Bible. That's right. We're having a worship series called Our Life with the Bible. And we have lots of different experiences with the Bible. Sometimes we have words in the Bible that bring us hope and give us peace. And sometimes we get confused when we read the Bible. It seems kind of strange sometimes. And so we have lots of different experiences. Last week, we talked about how the blessings in the Bible can bring us hope. And I don't know if, for those who were here last week, do you remember you got something to take with you that Lorna gave you? Do you remember what that was? You held it in your hand and you could kind of wave it around. Yeah, Sam. A what? Dough. Oh, that was several weeks back. I gave you dough to play with. You're right. Lorna gave you something yellow. It kind of belonged to a creature of some kind that soared up in the sky. A feather. That's right. You had a feather. And that was to remind you of the scripture passage and the story that Lorna read you from Isaiah, where it talked about God renewing God's people's strength and helping them to soar like eagles. So that's when you got that feather. That was pretty cool. Yeah, Hugh. Why are there pumpkins? Well, it's kind of getting close to the fall season. In fact, yesterday was the first day of fall, I think, right? Today is the first day of fall. So,
yeah, no,
oh, we have a debate. It was yesterday, today, who knows? It's fall now, so that's exciting. Oh, or for Halloween, we often have pumpkins out at Halloween. That's right. Yeah, they're good decorations, and they make a great pie as well, don't they? Mm-hmm. All right, well, today we're going to talk about how God's love can bring us hope, and how there's verses in the Bible that speak about God's love and how that can bring us hope. But first, I have a picture I want you to see. Serena, do you mind sharing the picture up there? I want to ask you a few questions about it. What's on this picture? Anything you notice? What stands out to you? I saw Isaac's hand go up first. Isaac, holding a sword. I knew that would be one that would catch people's, Landon. There are two armed men there. Yeah. Anything else you notice in this picture, everyone? Look for some details. Yeah. There are chains on his wrist. Now, what do you notice something about the chains? They're broken. Uh-huh. Very observant. Yep. Anything else that looks broken in the picture? Wires, or were you going to say something, Russell? The netting, or maybe this is supposed to be bars. Right? So this is a scene in a prison, okay? And this is actually a story from the book of Acts, and that the two figures that are sitting are Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas had been in a town called Philippi, and they had been preaching about Jesus, and they had helped a little girl there, actually, who was being kind of taken advantage of by some people to make money. And they helped her out. And because of that, some people got upset, and they actually then put them in jail. Paul and Silas were in jail. So they were in jail, and the story in the book of Acts, and it's on page 311 for the parents who might want to look at it with their kids later. The story in the book of Acts says that Paul and Silas did something interesting. What do you think you would do if you were sitting in a prison cell and it was dark and you were just sitting there in a prison cell? Yeah, pray. That's fantastic. What might you do if you kind of were a little more, I don't know, discouraged? What might you do? Micah? Ouch. Why would you do that? To try to get out of your chains, maybe? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty gruesome. But in prison. Okay. Yeah. Gruesome prison stories. Okay. Yeah. You might be discouraged in prison, right? Because you're locked up in prison, and now, Russell, you said you would pray. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did. They did something else. You know what they did? They sang. They sang, and the story says that when they were praying and they were singing, it was about midnight, so it was late, And suddenly it was like an earthquake was happening, and their chains broke, and the bars came open, and all the prisoners were suddenly able to get out if they wanted to, but they didn't, which is kind of strange, right? They sat still and rushed in, the guards rushed in, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, all these prisoners are going to escape, and I'm going to get in so much trouble, right? And so they were getting a little bit worried, but Paul said, don't worry about it. Come with me. I want to chat with you. Let's go to your house, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Okay, so that's the story, but listen, I want to go back to that bit about singing in prison, singing and praying in prison. Singing sometimes can really help us when we're discouraged or in a tough spot, right? And there are a lot of songs that we have in our hymn books that we have at church here, right, that often can help us. And those songs are often based on words from the Bible. There's one song that I helped you learn in summertime. Some of you might remember it. Beatrice is actually gonna play it through, and I'm going to sing it for you and see if you remember it. And you can sing along if you want. Maybe we'll just sing it through twice. Just the first line of the song, Calm Me, Lord. Let's try that. See if you remember it. Calm me, Lord, as you calm the storm. Still me, Lord, keep me from harm. Can you try to sing that line? Let's see if you can remember it. Calm me, Lord, as you calm the storm. Can you sing that?
Calm me, Lord, as you calm the storm. Still me, Lord, keep me from harm.
I remember when I taught you that, I said that would be a good one to take home. And at night or at any time you're discouraged, you just take a moment, take a breath, and try singing that one. I have a different one this morning that I want to teach you. And this one's going to be fun to do together. This is based on the scripture reading that we're going to have for today from the book of Romans. It's a really well-known scripture verse, and it talks about nothing being able to separate us from God's love. Okay, I have these cool little laminated sheets of the hymn with a broken chain on the back to remind you. And you can take this song home, and if you remember it, you can sing it when you're discouraged. But this morning, we're going to practice it together. How many kids do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We're going to share among the Clausen and Pardeis family, because I only have 10 copies here. So, Charlie, do you mind passing these out? And just make sure that maybe Micah and you take one, but then don't give any to your siblings. Give them to the rest of the kids. You guys will have it at home. You can share it around, and I might have a couple of extra. Okay, so this one, congregation, you're invited to join too. I'm gonna sing it through once to help direct the kids, and then I'm gonna get the kids to try to join me in, and then on the third time we'll sing it through twice together as a congregation. This is from hymn number 171. Number 171. First, I'm gonna sing it through with no piano. Okay? Beatrice is gonna give me my note. I'm going to sing it through with no piano. Now you listen to me and you see if you can catch on to the way this sounds, and then I'm going to give you instructions through. You will right after I do it once to teach you, okay? Are you ready?
Nothing, 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 nothing can separate us from the love of God.
You think you can try that with me? But this is what we're going to do. For the first nothing, we're going to start quiet. And then I want you to try to get by the end, on the last nothing, loud, really loud. Okay, are you ready?
Nothing, 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 nothing.
Nothing
can separate us from the love of God.
Now we're going to try it all as a congregation. We'll try to do that quiet again, and then louder we'll sing it through twice. Okay?
Nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, 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 nothing can separate us from the love of God.
All right, that was awesome. Let's pray together and then you can go back to your seats. God, thank you that no matter what happens in this life, no matter how hard things get, that your love for us never changes. When things get difficult in our lives, remind us that we can pray and sing and that you will bring us hope. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Please turn to 517, Children of the Heavenly Father. This would be a song that some of the older ones of us learned when we were that age.
Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Pauline, for that reading. As Twyla mentioned, we are very grateful that Pauline will come back up in a minute to share her reflections on Romans 8, 31 to 39, and share with us a bit about why they've been significant words in her life. Before I do that, however, invite Pauline up, a couple of brief comments about this text that might help set some context. Out of all Paul's many letters, written to churches before his presumed death somewhere around the late 50s CE, Paul's letter to the Christ believers in Rome was one of his latest ones that he wrote. It's possibly his last letter, in fact. There are a number of important aspects to the context of Rome that are worth noting here, and that's right, I have my clicker. I can try the clicker. There we go. So Rome, it's a big empire, really big empire, with a lot of military might. And as a citizen of Rome, you were required to give your loyalty to the empire, your faith and your obedience. You had to give that to the empire. It's interesting to note this when you think about all the references throughout Paul's letters and the letter to the Romans in particular that talks about the obedience of faith. Or faith in Christ. You're not putting your faith and your trust in the empire or in the emperor. You're putting your faith in Christ, not Rome. Rome claimed to secure peace for the world, the Pax Romana, it was called, and freedom. And the emperor's conquests were known as good news, as gospel for the citizens of Rome. The emperor would come back from victorious battles, and the gospel of Rome would be preached, the good news that the empire had triumphed. That's interesting to note as well, when you consider that Paul's whole vocation as an apostle was to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, not the empire. The empire was the arbiter of justice and righteousness. Again, all throughout the letter to the Romans, if you read it, you'll see these references again and again about Christ's righteousness and justice that establishes true justice. Another important feature of this time was that there was quite a bit of persecution, especially of Jewish folks. There was a whole actual exile of Jews. They were kicked out of Rome early in the first century during a time when one of the early Roman emperors there was particularly not pleased with them. And we can presume that a lot of the Gentile Christians as well in Rome would have been persecuted at various points for faith in Christ. All right, one other interesting thing to note from this specific passage that was read for us today. Did you catch when Pauline said, I think that you used the words, completely victorious or something like that? That's all good, yeah. Or more than victorious. Well, anybody who's interested in ancient Greek gods or then the Roman gods that later would be a kind of a translation of many of the Greek gods, the Greek god Nike, or Nike, which we know from the shoes, Nike, right, became the Roman god Victoria, which is where we get the word victory from, victorious. And in Romans 8:37, when Paul says, we are more than victorious, or we are more than conquerors, as it is sometimes translated. That is a little bit, I think, of a playful reference there. We are given power through Christ that makes us more than, taps us into a power that is greater than these gods that the empire claims as their own. The emperor would come back and say, yeah, see, the god Nike or Victoria is on my side. I've got the victory. And Paul says we are more than conquerors through Christ. There's just a bit of context for you. Pauline, we look forward to hearing how these texts of Scripture, these ancient words that speak of God's love, have connected with you in this time.
When Zach asked for scripture passages that give us hope, I listed Romans 8, 31 to 39 as one of the passages that gives me hope. I noticed in this service I felt weepy several times because it's connected to hard times, and I know there's lots of hard times in this congregation too. So it does give me hope, though, this passage. So. This passage first came to my attention when I was 17. It was a time of tragedy in my congregation. Rod, who was 15 years old, was killed in a car accident. He was my brother's friend from Sunday school. As I processed the news and shared the shock and grief with my siblings and my parents, I remember feeling a big hole open under me. And when I imagined the grief of Rod's mother, the grief of his siblings and his other friends, the hole got even deeper. At the funeral, the Romans 8 passage was read, and I have remembered it since. I heard it at a time when I was surrounded by a congregation in shock and grief, and I felt like the bottom had dropped out. This passage communicates confidence in the pervasiveness of God's steadfast love. I'll read again verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the midst of this tragedy, the message that nothing could separate us from the love of God gave me hope. Neither death nor life. God's love was with Rod in death. God's love was with his grieving mother, his siblings, and friends in life. Nor things present, nor things to come. God's love was there no matter what each of us was suffering in the present or would suffer in the future. Nor height, nor depth. God's love was in the depths of the hole I had sunk into. The message that God's steadfast love filled time and space gave me a sense of security and hope. The reference to height and depth in this passage, suggesting the vastness of God's love, has stayed with me. Over the years, I have noticed other passages of Scripture that use height and depth as an image to describe the all-encompassing love of God. And these passages have provided me hope in times of discouragement when I feel down and in the depths. Several years ago, I had an experience of height and depth that strengthened for me this image of the vastness of God's love. I was on a canoe trip. It was a calm morning in the middle of a lake with a big sky above us. I was in the front of the canoe and we were paddling slowly. The water was still and reflected the sky perfectly. I looked down, and below me was a depth as deep as the sky was high, and I felt suspended in eternity. I was in awe. I felt surrounded by the vastness of God's love. When I feel anxious about the future and worry that I might not be able to handle what life brings, I want to remember the vastness of God's love that surrounds us and goes even to the depths, a love from which we cannot be separated. That gives me hope.